It's good to see everyone this morning. Someone asked at the close of our Bible study this morning, what are we going to study Wednesday night? Well, we are going to enter into a study of establishing Bible authority. How do you establish Bible authority? And we're going to do that a little bit different than what we have been doing. My intention is that we will, in the sermon on Sunday night, we will present the material of the lesson for Wednesday night. And so as you come in tonight for worship, I encourage you to pick up the papers that will be available. You'll have a skeleton outline of tonight's sermon. And then on the back of that will be some questions to kind of guide you through a review of the lesson. And then Wednesday night, we will together go through those questions and a review of the lesson. So a little bit different way of doing things, maybe hopefully a little bit a better way of covering the material in a comprehensive and yet brief amount of time. This morning's lesson is kind of pertains to establishing authority. What we're really talking about is truth, and that's what I want to talk with you this morning. The nature of truth. First and foremost, truth is objective. It is everlasting. It does not depend on our knowledge of truth or our acknowledgement of it or our acceptance of it. Truth is truth. We discover truth, and having discovered it and respecting it, we will live a happy and safe life. My acceptance of the truth allows me to benefit from it. But my ignorance or rejection of the truth does not affect the truth. Truth cannot be anything other than the truth. There are not many different truths, each catering to individual likes, taste, opinions, and customs. Truth is singular. Truth does not change with circumstances or surroundings. Truth is the truth. Now, I realize that that's not a real popular thing to say in this day and age of relativism and your truth and my truth and our truth and their truth, with differing religions and contradictory religions, with different lifestyles and contradictory lifestyles. Absolute truth is something that people want to deny. I even saw a blurb on television where it was a news story, and I forget the entire context of it, but anyway, it was a discussion between what I'll call a television scientist and a real scientist. The television scientist, he's got all of the alphabet after his name too. But the television scientist was saying, it's not about truth of developing a theory and testing the theory, and the test of the theory always has the same results and therefore it becomes truth. No, that doesn't matter. What matters is the consensus of the scientific community and what they say truth is. That's where we have gone, folks. When the scientific community starts saying, we are the truth,
what we say is truth, regardless of the facts, we're in trouble. We've got people today saying, we've got men today saying, I am a woman and I want to compete in women's sports. And you have to, if you don't respect the fact that I think I'm a woman, then you're going to warp me psychologically. Got news for you, buddy. You are already warped. And I have no idea why our society doesn't put this to an absolute bottom line test. This is easy to solve. Do a blood test. If there are two X chromosomes, it's a woman. If it's an X and a Y chromosome, it's a man. Regardless of what they think about it. And if you don't have the right chromosomes, you can't participate in that gender sport. Period. And we can do that with a multitude of subjects. Truth is truth, regardless of how you feel about it. You might feel, in our Bible class this morning, Pax presented an illustration of respecting laws, respecting traffic signs. We have traffic signs that says there's a curve ahead and there'll be a suggested speed limit or to take that curve at. And so you say, well, you know, you can safely take this curve at 45 miles an hour. Yeah, but that's good for most people, but I'm a pretty excellent driver, and I'm driving a sophisticated car that's meant to go around curves, and I think I can take that curve at 100 miles an hour. Now, you might be able to take it more than 45, but I can pretty much guarantee you you're not going to take it at 100. Because it's not just the laws and suggestions of our society that determine whether you can make it around that term, curve, safely. It's the laws of physics. And you will not break the laws of physics and win. There are no exceptions to those laws. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, the laws of nature always work. Gravity always works. So it doesn't matter how we feel about it, whether we accept it or not, or whether we want to change the truth. The truth is the truth. We don't establish the truth, we discover the truth. And having discovered the truth, we are best served by living within the parameters of the truth. That's true physically, and it's true spiritually. Truth will always be truth. Anything that disagrees with the truth is false. God is the Father of all truth. His Word is truth. His Word is the truth. There is no other truth. To any subject he addresses, physical, scientific, spiritual, God's Word is truth. But we have a responsibility to it. God has revealed the truth to us. And He has also revealed that we have a responsibility to the truth. Jesus said it this way, passage we're very familiar with. Jesus said to those who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, I feel like I'm a disciple of Jesus. Do you abide in his word? Do you know what his word teaches? Do you reverence his word? Do you find yourself being afraid when his word convicts you of sin? And do you respect him enough to turn from your sin to walk in the light of righteousness and his word of truth? You know, see, it doesn't matter how we feel about it. It matters of whether we abide in his word, if we are a true disciple or not. But notice, if we abide in his word, we shall know the truth. If you don't abide in the word of Christ, you cannot know the truth. Now, you're still subject to the truth. You will still answer to the truth. The truth will still convict you if you don't abide in his word. Ignorance of the word is not an excuse. To be true disciples of Christ and to be free from our sin and our separation from God, we must abide in his word and know the truth. Respect it and practice it. We must know the truth. Acts 17 and verse 30. We read, "Truly, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." He didn't suggest it. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Does that include me? Yes. Does it include my family, my loved ones? Yes. All men everywhere. 1 Timothy 2 and verses 3 through 4. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God desires all men to come to a knowledge of not his truth, not a truth, not their truth, but the truth. God desires that we come to a knowledge of, he has revealed the truth to us, and he desires that we come to a knowledge of the truth. John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." So, yes, we must receive his word, believe his word, trust his word, and obey it. Otherwise, this word will judge us. Having come to know the truth, we must value the truth. Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." It's an interesting statement in Proverbs. How do you buy the truth? It's not talking about literally buying the truth as a commodity. We can't do that, can we? But he's talking about the value of the truth. Buy it, don't sell it. You know, we trade in commodities, or at least people trade in commodities. I don't trade in commodities. But people trade in commodities. I watch the price of gold just because I find it interesting. You know, the price of gold got up to like $1,800 a year or so ago. That's a lot of money. You know, I can remember when the price of gold was like $600. But this summer, it hasn't been too long ago, the price of gold got down to $1,600. I told Debbie, I says, you know, we probably ought to buy some gold. Because I think the price of gold is going to go back up. No, we can't do that. We've got our money. We'll just hold on to our money. Not going to take a chance with gold. You know what the price of gold is now? It's over $2,000 an ounce. So I wasn't looking at buying gold to just buy and have gold, which some people say that's what you ought to do. But I was looking at it like, you know, we can buy some gold. Not a whole lot of it. Sell it in a year or so. Make a lot of money. At least make as much money as what we're investing in it. But the truth isn't like that. What the Word of God is saying here is that it's priceless. Buy it, don't sell it, don't let go of it. That's what he's saying. Philippians 3 and verses 7 and 8. What things were gained for me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Had to give up some things to follow Jesus. To trust Him and obey Him. Had to turn from my way to His way. There were people who looked down on me and severed relationships with me because I chose to follow Christ. I count these all loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. Romans 1 and verse 25 says it this way. Talks about those who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Remember Jesus talked, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If you could gain the whole world and lost your soul, do you come out on top? No, you've lost everything. But what are we giving in exchange for our soul? What I feel, am I giving in exchange for my soul and the practice of the truth? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul talks about Demas and how he had forsaken him, having loved this present world. James 5 and verses 19 and 20, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way. You see, if you wander from the truth, it's not just a wandering from the truth. It's not just an experiment. It's not just what you're feeling. You are in the error of your way. You turn him from the error of his way back to the truth, you will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Buy the truth and do not sell it. It's priceless. You know, if you think about the truth as a commodity, you know, we talk about, well, you can't take it with you, right? Your house, your automobile, your treasures, your collection. Do you have a collection of anything? Your tools. The things that you appreciate. Your treasures. You can't take them with you. There is one commodity that you can take with you. The truth. If you treasure the truth and abide in the truth, and elevate the truth in your life, you can take it with you. It will take you into an eternity in the presence of God in the heavenly host. Our responsibility to the truth is that we must love the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "With all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." The truth will save us, and only the truth will save us. But unless we receive a love of the truth, it will not save us. Yes, we must fear it, respect it, reverence it, but that must develop into a love for it. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus simply said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." His commandments reveal the truth to us. Therefore, we must obey the truth. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 says, "You have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another with a pure heart fervently." You have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Galatians 3 and verse 1, "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Which are you doing? Are you obeying the truth or not obeying the truth? Well, I'm mostly obeying the truth, right? Is that what you're thinking? I'm mostly obeying the truth. There's some things I'm not obeying the truth in. The Word of God convicts us and says, "You're not obeying the truth." Now, when we take away from God's Word or add to God's Word, we're not practicing His Word. When we modify what God has given us, we're not doing what God has given us. Galatians 5 and verse 7. "Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Can people hinder you from obeying the truth? Sure. Family members, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, false teachers can deceive you into believing something other than the pure truth of God's Word. Yes, you can be hindered from obeying the truth. The fact of the matter remains that God's truth has been revealed in His Word, and we can abide in it, know it, and be His true disciples. Galatians 1 and verses 6 through 7, Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia and said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." False teachers will say, "Well, this is another," air quotes, "this is another gospel." There's no other gospel. There's only one. There's no other truth. There's only one. But there are many who will pervert the gospel of Christ. And we must work for the truth. Not only must we work the truth, we must work for the truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We need to sit up and take notice at those words. Rightly dividing the word of truth. A worker of God reads the truth, studies the truth. The worker of God is charged with rightly dividing the word of truth. That necessarily infers that you can wrongly divide the word of truth. Misapply the word of truth. Misunderstand the word of truth. Dishonestly handle the word of truth to make it fit your agenda instead of God's revealed truth. We are charged with rightly dividing the word of truth. Philippians 1 and verse 17, Paul said, I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Truth needs defending. It doesn't matter what the consensus says, whether it's in the scientific theater or the spiritual theater. The consensus doesn't establish truth. God has established truth and revealed it to us. And having discovered it, we need to be set for the defense of the gospel against all those who come with other gospels. Romans 10 and verse 14. How shall the lost call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a proclaimer? We cannot call on him if we have not believed on him. This goes back to the prophecy of Joel. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we need to know who the Lord is. It needs to be revealed to us, just like Peter revealed to those on the day of Pentecost that Jesus of Nazareth, who they crucified, was both Lord and Christ. What does the Lord want us to do, Peter? Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That same day, 3,000 souls were baptized. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? The Word of God's truth says that you are lost in your sin. You're separated from God. And your only way back to Him is through the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, the Word of God in the flesh, was a very embodiment of the truth. And we cannot come to the Father except through the truth. The truth has been revealed. It will always be the truth. And we will be judged by it or saved by it. It's your choice. You have a responsibility to know the truth, to value it, to love it, obey it, and work for it. Will you? Will you turn from your opinions and your thoughts and your feelings and turn to the absolute revelation of the standard of truth found in His Word and be found practicing the will of God and displaying your love for Him in your practice of it? If you're subject to the invitation today, in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.